My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 6th of September 2009. The time is 3:15 in the afternoon. I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to state your name, age, and where you've come from?
My name is Stephen Syard. My age is 29, and I currently live in London and have for the past 5 years, but I'm originally from the United States.
Whereabouts in the United States?
Well, most recently Oklahoma, but I grew up partially in Texas as well.
And what prompted your move from America to England?
I came over to study at the London School of Economics, and I fell in love with the city, and my wife and I never went back.
How long have you been married for?
Just over 5 years at this point.
And what is it about the city that you like so much?
Everything. We like living in the middle of the hustle and bustle. We really like being in a cosmopolitan city, as many countries as we can pack into a single space as possible. We really love the arts, especially the music, somewhat so the theater as well. And London provides us something every evening if we wanted to go out and do it. So,
going back, you studied at the LSE. What did you study?
Econometrics and mathematical economics.
Could you describe that subject a bit more, please?
Well, mostly it's just time series analysis, but it is the statistics behind economic theory and the techniques for teasing out correlations, relations, verifying theories against empirical data. All the techniques that are used is that.
And is this your passion?
I'd probably have to say no. It's just, it was at the time, and then I basically went back to doing what I've always done, which is computer programming. So software development is something I've always done, and pretty much no matter what job I've ever had, it's whatever I've called it, it's always been computer programming as a background.
And what is your current job?
I am a software engineer at a company called Udevise. They do financial software.
Just to go back to the plinth, how did you hear about the project and what inspired you to take part?
Well, I heard about the project via word of mouth from a friend of a friend of a friend who had something to do with Artichoke at some point in time in the past. So other than that, I would have never heard of it otherwise, I don't think, actually, unless I saw the posters. And mostly I signed up on a dare, almost, I think. I don't know. It sounded interesting. I had no idea what I was going to do at the time. I just knew that if I happened to get a draw, I'd think of something interesting.
What are you thinking about doing up there?
I am going to hold an hour-long question and answer session called Ask a Mad Scientist. I'm going to go up on the plinth in the character of a mad scientist and answer questions that people have, possibly suggest some. There's going to be a Twitter stream and a SMS number that I've set up temporarily that people can send their questions to, and I'll just answer them on the whiteboard and via megaphone and shouting, essentially.
Could you describe this character, the mad scientist?
Pretty much a stereotypical mad scientist. Lab coat and goggles are the things he always wanders around with, and mad scientist interests vary. Reanimation of dead tissue, creation of giant monsters, fools, I'll show them all, etc. It's more of a generic persona than any specific one.
So would you say this mad scientist is a part of, is another character for yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something I enjoy playing, as it were. And in a sense, I really didn't think about playing it as a unit, an assembled unit, until I got the opportunity to do it for an hour. So.
You talked about it being a dare.
It wasn't so much a dare, really. It was just a couple friends I knew had signed up. I succumbed to peer pressure. What can I say? Oh, excited. When I signed up, I was perfectly willing to take a place on the plinth should I happen to get one, so I was excited to be one of the ones that got selected. And since my number is, I think it's 2381 out of 2400, I think I got very lucky at the tail end of the distribution, so.
And do you think you're going to gain anything from the experience on the plinth?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I really don't know what I'll take away. Yes, I take that back. I know that I'm going to gain something from the experience. I have no idea what yet. Ask me again in an hour.
Do you know of Anthony Gormley's work before this?
Yes, yes. And I saw a exhibition of it at the Hayward Gallery across the South Bank there.
And what do you think about this particular project?
I think it's one of the more interesting ones he's done. I think it's interesting that he chooses a representation of modern Britain. And I'm actually really curious to see at the end of it what the distribution was of people who are native, of people who live here, how many of them were actually Londoners, how many of them were from the far corners of the United Kingdom. I want to know if anyone has come over from, say, Northern Ireland to do the plinth, because it was the UK, as I understood. So it'd be interesting.
I think you might have a more unique experience because you are originally American. Can you say any thoughts about it being a portrayal of modern Britain?
I think if it's a portrayal of modern Britain, it is only in the sense that modern Britain is a diverse society with random elements from all over the world, and not all of them are what you would expect of a typical or stereotypical British person. It just so happens that it's full of random and weird people.
Can I ask what nationality your wife is?
Also United States.
And what does she think of London?
She loves it. So we're both happy to continue living here indefinitely as far as we can.
Outside,
assuming the government lets us, of course.
Outside of your job, what are your main interests in your life?
Reading. And then we joined the Ramblers Club. Are you familiar with Ramblers? The Ramblers are an organization dedicated to walking in Britain and the preservation of open rights of way. They have been there since time immemorial, and regardless of whose property it is, these rights of way still continue to exist, and walkers can walk on them freely. And we have nothing like that at all in the United States. It's one of the things I love about being in Britain, and so that's another thing that I would consider a passion, is walking. Other than that, the arts and attending various art events.
Can I just go back to your reading? What particular genres do you enjoy?
Well, first and foremost, science fiction. But history, science, not so much biography. Everything except biography and romance, I'd say.
What particularly about biography do you not?
I find that biography tends to be hagiography more than anything else. It's either a scandal, a tell-all, an expose, or it's a hagiography. It's a life of a saint, and all the reality gets brushed out of it. So I find between those two extremes, I haven't found very many biographies.
Going back to talk about the Ramblers Society.
Sure.
Whereabouts do you walk?
Wherever we can. It's basically anything that we find within a 45 minute to an hour train ride out of London. And if there are two stations near enough to each other, say within 10 miles of each other, we'll take the train out, walk from one station to the other, and then come back in on the train. If there's not, then we go out to a train station and do a circular walk. And there's enough pathways that it's never been a problem finding a route to walk.
And how often do you do this?
Well, we try to do it once every week or 2 weeks. We manage it maybe twice a month.
Is there a good social element to this group as well?
Sometimes not. Going out with a Ramblers group is a lovely social experience as well. Given that they're all people who are generally dedicated to walking, they all have interesting views about, say, for example, environmental issues that they're glad to promulgate. But often there are lots of books on rambles that have been done, and my wife and I will just go out for a walk on one of those predetermined routes and without a group.
Being originally American.
Sure.
I'm
still American at this point, but would love to get British citizenship at some point.
Was there a particular change in your attitude from coming from America to Britain?
I don't think I'd say so. I actually spent some of my youth in Europe, and somewhere I've always wanted to come back to. So I'd say that Britain is sort of halfway between the American and continental European systems in a lot of ways, and it's right at that midpoint that I feel comfortable.
Would you say it's important for everyone to go traveling?
Oh, absolutely. As much as possible and as early as possible. And even if they don't like it, just to know that there is something besides what they've grown up with and how they've lived, to know that some people live a completely different way, I think it's critical.
And how old were you and where did you travel to in
Europe? I was born in Germany and moved to Scotland and France and elsewhere in Germany during my youth, and then didn't move to the States until I was 10 years old.
Could you define your nationality?
The one that my passport says is United States. I prefer to think of myself as a citizen of the world. And if only I could get that in a passport, I would be much happier.
Could you talk about your experiences of traveling around?
Not in a 15-minute time frame. There's far too much of it. But other than I love it, I'd say it was just formative. It was important for me to be traveling when I was young, and it gave me a desire to keep traveling when I'm older. So I think in and of itself, it's a good thing.
And is the rest of your family in America at this point in time?
Yes, I think they all are at this point. So scattered around. Some are in Pennsylvania, some are in Texas.
Do you get the opportunity to go back and see them?
Yes, at least twice a year.
Going back to the plinth, we'd like to find out from our participants is because this is a portrayal of modern Britain, in time, I'm just going to ask you if you could describe what's important in your life at this moment in time.
At this point in time, maybe it's just the age that I'm at, but at this point in time, the most important thing is experience, to experience as many things as possible, to increase the breadth of that experience. And I don't know whether this is characteristic of Britain as a whole, but I do know that London is a sort of central point for mixing as many different kinds of people together as possible. And experiencing that is really important to me at this point in time, as is just learning in general and being well-read, those sorts of things. But mostly just experience is the most important thing at this point in time in my life.
And what about experience that really attracts you?
Perspective. The more experience I have, the better the easier it is to empathize with other people, the easier it is to sympathize with problems going on elsewhere in the world, to put effort into caring for people elsewhere. The other thing is the more experience I have, the less culture shock I feel whenever I try to travel to a new place to experience a new thing. I can feel more connected and not quite so alien in different cultures.
Looking to the future, are you planning to stay in London for a long time? Are you thinking about moving at all?
It's a very good base to visit a lot of the rest of Europe, so we're hoping to stay at least the next 10 years.
And could you just ask you to paint a picture of yourself at this moment in your life as well? Often I ask, just sort of as a good basis, to talk about three words that you've had to put in for your application.
Well, that's interesting, because the three words I put in for my application were mad scientist goggles, and that was more a depiction of the character that I'm going to portray on the plinth than it is a portrayal of me as a person. I really wouldn't know where to start. Sorry.